What is up, everybody, and welcome to the Tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, and we are recording on Tuesday, November 19th, and tonight is episode 242. We've got a Texas Tech-Oklahoma State football game to preview this weekend, and we've been kind of putting it off, but it's time to finally do our basketball preview, our deep dive of the basketball team now that they're four games into the season. You haven't missed much from this team. They played four games, but they haven't played anybody relevant yet. But the tests are about to come. So we'll preview this basketball team, dive in a little bit deeper, go through the roster, some questions about it, and then look ahead to an upcoming big weekend for the Red Raiders in Brooklyn. And so fun episode for you guys. And with all of that said, let's go ahead and get into this week's episode.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
Well, the bye week has come and gone. The Red Raiders luckily got out of the bye unscathed. Right now, kind of feeling like, you know, wasn't sure if we were going to get the win or the loss versus the bye week with the way things have been going here lately and the way this coaching staff has been coaching. But one more road test for the Red Raiders this season as they head to Stillwater to face off with the Oklahoma State Cowboys, who, well, things haven't been going very well for Gundy and the Cowboys in Oklahoma State this season. They started off the season 3-0, and since then have lost seven straight games, all of them in the Big 12 Conference, to stand at 3-7, 0-7 in conference play. The Red Raiders right now 6-4 and 4-3 in conference play. Did not play each other last year, so this year it's getting to meet Alan Bowman for the first time as the Oklahoma State starting quarterback. So there's that reunion and getting to face off with Ollie Gordon for the first time this season. So, yeah, things haven't gone well for Oklahoma State. They're just trying to cling on to any sort of life or get through this season. Right now, as I mentioned, Alan Bowman, name we all are familiar with, somehow still in college football, finishing up his seventh and hopefully final year in college football. He's thrown for 2,416 yards, 16 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions so far this season. Ollie Gordon hasn't been the electric Ollie Gordon from last year that kind of carried the Cowboys to the Big 12 championship game. He has 714 yards and 10 touchdowns this season. All right numbers, but not what everybody expected from Ollie heading into this season. They have a few wide receiver weapons to be aware of in Dejon Stribling. He has 749 yards, 5 touchdowns on the season. And speedster Brennan Presley, who's got 670 yards and 7 touchdowns on the season. Defensively is where most of the struggles have come for the Oklahoma State Cowboys this season, as they have given up 31.9 points per game, 240 rushing yards per game. I had to check that twice. I was like, that's a big, big number, as well as 258 pass yards per game this season. So definitely not much going on the defensive side of the ball yet. They have generated 16 sacks and 13 turnovers so far this season. So that's a little bit of a look at the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Dustin, your thoughts on the upcoming game with the rival Xerox U Oklahoma State Cowboys on Saturday?
Yeah, one of our few rivals that are left. We are 0-2 against our other ones so far this year in TCU and Baylor. So, I mean, I made a big point in those after those losses of losing rivalry games to direct conference recruiting opponents. Mm-hmm. So we don't need to lose this one. And another thing that kind of came to mind when getting ready for this and talking about this game was the Baylor game was also coming off a bye week.
Yep.
So I hope we prepared and planned differently.
Yeah, whatever approach we had last time, please throw that out and take it completely.
A month or so ago, because that didn't work then.
Yeah,
I do know that Joey
they also press came off a bye
Monday. Well, they used it way better. Joey in his press conference Monday said they are also using some of this time to get familiar with the new Womble football facility. They are slowly getting into that building. It's not like full 100%, you know, grand opening, but the weight room was open. They got some lifts in so far. They got to use their team room. And
is there any like cool offensive plays or anything that they can like find on the walls or anything? Somebody might have left them in there. I don't know. I don't know if any of that's going to help change the season.
Yeah, they did say they were also going to get trained on the new walkthrough facility, which is a cool like 30-yard field with a LED screen on the other side that you can simulate the offense or defense and put your team out there kind of stuff. So I don't know if they'll be ready for that, but pretty cool to have a lot of stuff that they've done with that facility. And the pictures have come out on the weight room, and it's sick. So, I mean, great recruiting tool for sure. But back to this game. Hopefully we were prepared way more. We're also, like, out of the red shirt window for a lot of these players. So we can play some guys. Joey also hinted at that we might see. He hinted at a couple receivers, a lineman, some defensive players that we need to save some guys and get some other people in. So you might see some new faces this week. So that'll be interesting to see how much run some of those guys get. He mentioned Micah might be returning punts if he can go. So there you go.
Yeah. I mean, really nervous about the final two games in Micah's stand because – you know, you've wasted his freshman season by playing him like just a couple snaps in several games. Like, I don't understand any of the handling with him. And I feel like if he doesn't play these last two games, the writing's on the wall that he's going to be gone. So these are very important two games for Micah to get some run and see what he can do.
So, yeah, I'll be interested to see how Killy kind of comes out of it with consistency issues. We're going to talk about that in a second. And I just hope, honestly, on the defensive end, I just hope we keep up what we've been doing. I know we've broken quite a few times and given up, you know, over 30 points. But kind of like DeRuiter said this week, it's like we have a really young team and we got to play who we got. And sometimes it's going to happen. So I just hope the pressure continues. And we can get to Bowman. He's been, you know, pick happy this year. You know, they're not an exciting offense like they kind of were last year. Ollie Gordon's not steamrolling people and Bowman's not managing the game. So it's a little more doable than if we would have had to play them last year for sure. And so I'm thinking we can cause some pressure and some turnovers and force it into Bowman's hands because I've never been a Bowman fan even when he was here.
Yeah.
I thought he was a product of Cliff's play calling, and if you look at his freshman season, his home games were pretty good and his away games were awful.
Yeah.
It's like that kind of shows you like what the player is. So and then yeah, their defense pretty crap. I mean, their pass defense is worse than ours. That's saying a lot. So
yeah,
a lot of bad stuff in a nutshell there for you.
Yeah, I mean, for me, this just like screams, all right, like this has to be like a big offensive game for
you. I thought you were going to say a big letdown game.
I mean, it has the opportunity to do that. This is the Texas Tech Red Raiders we're talking about. They are always down for a letdown. I just like I'm reading those defensive numbers. I'm seeing 240 rush yards per game. I've seen, we've got Taj Brooks, 258 pass yards per game.
500 yards a game.
Like, that's a lot of yards per game. This is just like a no excuse game for Killy to not go out there and have success on offense. I've watched bits and pieces of this Oklahoma State defense, and they've been laughable at tackling. Who's one of the best players at making you miss? That's Taj Brooks. But it 100% wouldn't shock me if you came out and like had two Taj Brooks touches in the first quarter of the game. You know, that's the stuff that's like maddening to me. And it's like, obviously I get the first drive. Like, you know, we've kind of talked about this, like at games, like the first drive of the game, Oklahoma State's going to be keyed in on stopping Taj. So, like, first drives of the game, you're going to have to open up the playbook a little bit. But then kind of once you get settled in, that's when you got to really start giving the ball to Taj. And it scares me that he might just go away from that thinking he can pass the ball, and then that might cause struggles for us. But, I mean, nothing about Oklahoma State scares me. Bowman doesn't scare me.
No.
I know they hate their offensive coordinator like we do. And so, you know, what they've – that the you know, Ollie hasn't been the same. They've got a couple receivers that, you know, are kind of scary, but nobody that's like Travis Hunter or some of the guys you faced this year. So, you know, on paper, this looks like a game that you should go and control. One of the odd things about the season is you have played better on the road than at home, I feel like. You know, you went – up to Ames and won. You won in Arizona, conference-wise. You know, not talking about Washington State game here, but you played really good at TCU until you made some, you know, stupid coaching decisions that we've discussed. And so, like, I'm not that afraid of this team going on the road and playing well. I'm just afraid of you, your coaches doing silly-ass shit that you've seen from this coaching staff all season. And I don't know, like, I think we should win this game, but I'm also a little nervous that maybe Oklahoma State comes out fired up, trying to get one more win to kind of save their season, and they come out prepared after they also have a bye week, and then they come in and smack you in the face, and you just can't respond. I don't know. I just don't know how to feel about this game.
Yeah, and, I mean, our team hasn't given us resounding assurance that they can handle a game in a team like this.
Yeah. Now,
we thought the same thing about Baylor a month ago, and look how that turned out in the same circumstance, you know.
It also turns out we turned Baylor to a juggernaut all of a sudden who just, like, can't lose anymore.
Right. Yeah, the Kittley thing, I mean, like you mentioned, big opportunity for him with a team that gives up 500 yards, and it's both ways. Like, they don't stuff anything, really.
Yeah.
And so the whole playbook's open for you.
Like, should be.
You shouldn't have to be holding back. The Taj record is off the books now as well. And so, like, do whatever you got to do to win this game. But if you can run up and go score, do it. Like, get the plays out there. I mean, you're only going to win max 8 games at this point. You're not saving something for Arlington, the Big 12 champ game, you know. So, like, get all the plays out there. Like you do on the first two drives sometimes. Use some of those in the second quarter, in the third quarter when you're crap.
Third quarter,
And, like, the consistency's been the problem. We've talked about it on here every week. And Joey brought it up in his press conference this week. I thought that was kind of interesting how he knows they know of their first quarter is really good. Their second quarter is even decent. And their second half is – not good at all. And so they know that consistencies and inconsistencies from the offense. And so hopefully they've talked about that and worked on it. And maybe Kittley does something with a great opportunity here.
Yeah. I mean, that's the key is you've got to be consistent one game this year where from start to finish that you're just on the gas the entire time.
Best chance.
You know, the thing that we've harped on a lot about this offense is when your defense is getting you stops, you've got to capitalize on those opportunities. So that's like a couple of things that I'm looking for. When your defense forces punts, what are you doing on those drives? If your defense pitches a shutout in the second quarter, are you punting every single drive that they're getting those stops, or are you going down and building a lead? Like, these are the things that I'm watching for in this game specifically. I don't care if you go out there and drive and score on the first drive of the game. Cool. You've been known to do that. I'm interested to see what's happening later on in the game once we're out of the script plays, once the defense has adjusted to what we're doing. How is the play calling going? Is he getting guys open? Is, you know, is Barron making the right reads? Because I think both of these guys go hand in hand, and we'll talk about it more after this game, but that's just really what I'm watching for the offense. I just want to see if your defense is doing well. Is your offense rewarding them by building the lead, or are you just staying in a close game? I would love to see us go blow that team out and not have to be in a one possession game against a shitty Oklahoma State team. Because if you win this game by like a possession, I'm not going to feel good about that win. Like you said, yay, you got seven wins. It's just not going to feel that awesome if you beat
You'll hear Joey say, we got seven wins. We got a chance to win eight. We're going to four straight bowl game. We haven't done that in forever. We got a chance to win eight games. We haven't done that in forever. Like, all right, we get it. But you should be beating teams like this by 17.
Yeah, you should handle this team. They're terrible. They can't tackle. There should be a lot of Taj Brooks in this game. There should be a lot of Josh Kelly, Caleb Douglas, Jalen Conyers, those kind of guys. I need to see Jalen Conyers get more than like two looks this game. I want to see him get the ball 5 to 8 times. I mean, use your guys. Let's see what the offense can open it up. What do you think about the defense and what they have? Bowman, who's a guy who we know is not electric by any means, who will give you some opportunities to make some interceptions. And then Ollie Gordon, who we know can still flash it. He's had moments, but he just doesn't look. This offense just doesn't look like the same, and but they don't have the ability to really spring him. So what do you think about the defense's opportunities this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, they still got some decent pieces. It's no Travis Hunter and Shador out there, but you've played pretty well against some really good competition, I think. And so I think you should be able to well handle yourself. Don't let Ollie Gordon have a throwback game to last year type stuff. A lot of teams have done that and then made Bowman be the guy and the playmaker, and he kind of can't do it. And so,
yeah,
will he, you know, have a little more zip on the ball because he's playing his former team and a lot of people don't like him around here? Maybe. but that's the one worry I have is
he's just like has the bleep tech game.
I don't have a lot of faith in that, but that is the only concern I have.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be shocking. It just seems what happens to us is, like, former guys, when they play us, they, you know, have a little extra motivation. And and so, I don't know. Yeah, that would be mainly the one thing that scares me. I think, like, all right, we'll kind of live or die with whatever Ollie's going to get you, but I think your rush defense has been pretty solid, so I'm not too worried about him really just going completely off. I think the plan is kind of what teams have done to us. It's like try to make Barron beat you, try to make Bowman beat you, and if that's the game plan, I think it should go in our favor theoretically. I like the way this defense stacks up against their offense. I mean, like I said, everything like looks like this should be a pretty easy win for you. It's just, I don't have really a whole lot of faith in this coaching staff to go out there and win a game convincingly.
No.
We just haven't done it. I mean, all of our wins are possession games. And, almost every one of our games is a possession game. So we'll look into some more offensive and defensive stuff after this game. We typically do quick previews of these games, and we've got a lot of basketball to talk about. So let's go ahead and get our Texas Tech Oklahoma State score predictions in. What you got for the score between the Red Raiders and the Cowboys this weekend?
All right, so I do feel pretty good. Maybe that's silly of me. I think we go up there and handle this game and we get a 34-24 victory.
Okay. I'm kind of in the same vicinity as you. I have 38-27 Texas Tech.
Wow, I didn't think you'd have a double-digit victory like that.
Do I have a whole lot of faith that it'll happen? No.
I was expecting a three-point game from you.
I just look at this defense and what I've seen of this defense, and I'm like, here's your opportunity, and it's my last little bit of faith I have in Kittley to go out there and actually put some points on the board. I don't think there's any way that you should score under 40 if he's the offensive guru and a great offensive coordinator. Like, there's no way that you should be under 40 points in this game, in my eyes. But I haven't ever seen him really just go and put it on a Big 12 team. So, yeah. Especially on the road. So,
So I got the under there with only 58. I'm well under.
I also have the under at 65. Under. The under, over under for you guys listening is 67.5 right now. Both of us taking Texas Tech as a 3.5-point favorite as well there. So, as we always do, offensive prediction, what's your offensive route this week?
All right, this one might be a stretch, but I like it. Okay. We're going 2 100-yard receivers in this game.
I think you've done that one before.
I haven't done the two, but I've done one for like 3 weeks in a row. I'm going for two this week.
Okay. I'm going Taj 200-yard rushing game.
Also, don't put receivers on there in case Conyers goes off.
200 yards. Wide
receivers, put receiving game. receiving yards. I'm making sure to cover the tight end bases, even though Kittley hates him.
Yeah, I mean, come on. He'll get one look in the game, and his one look will...
A sick touchdown play that a team used that would be great for if you had like a 6'9" tight end. Spread him out on the left side by himself. He literally just ran down and boxed the dude out, and they threw a jump ball to him.
Yeah, it was Utah.
Touchdown.
It was Utah, and it was that former Baylor basketball player.
Be great if we ran that with a 6'9" guy.
Who would have thought?
Looks like it would work. Awesome.
Yeah. I would love for Jalen Conyers to have a 100-yard receiving game. The unfortunate thing is we'll give him one pass, and then the rest of the time we'll use him as like a gadget play guy. So, but yeah, my prediction is Taj is going to have a career high, and he's going to pass the 200-yard mark against this defense that can't tackle. And it's going to be a heavy dose of Taj. I feel like it'll be run freer knowing that the record's already in the past. So maybe he's just out there balling. Defensively, what's your prediction?
I think this is the easiest take three game of the year.
Take three. Okay. I went with, I'm not going to go with take three. I was thinking along that lines, but I was thinking Bowen's going to throw his former team the ball twice. He gets confused. He thinks he's playing for Texas Tech a couple times, and he throws us the ball twice.
He's sick.
So I'm going to go two picks for Bowman to his former team. That would be great. That would be a lot of fun. All right, prediction recap. Dustin going with a 34-24 Texas Tech victory. I am going with a 38-27 Texas Tech victory as well. We are both taking Texas Tech minus 3.5-point favorites. We are both taking the under of 67.5 points. Offensive prediction, Dustin's going 2 100-yard receiving games by either a wide receiver or tight end. I am going with a 200-yard rushing performance from Taj Brooks. I think there's a little also extra motivation as he's going up against Ollie Gordon, who everybody's like,
Yeah.
There's a little added motivation there. Defensive prediction, Dustin's going with a take three. I'm going with Bowman throwing two interceptions to his former college football team. And that will do it for Texas Tech and Oklahoma State. We hope you guys enjoy watching this game. 2:30 kickoff on Saturday, last road game, and then it's on to West Virginia for one more regular season football game. So football season is wrapping up, but basketball season is here, and so it's time to go over to the hardwood and discuss this year's Texas Tech basketball team. Let's play some basketball! Well, the 24-25 basketball season for the Red Raiders has tipped off. We have discussed, you know, some of their first few games that have played. Red Raiders moved to 4-0 last night with a big win over Arkansas Pine Bluff, a 98-64 victory over Arkansas State Pine Bluff. Some quick stats from that game. Darian Williams led the way with 19 points for you. JT Toppin had himself a double-double last night. He had 14 points, 11 rebounds. He also had a double-double from Elijah Hawkins, who got his first start as the point guard for this team. 10 points, 11 assists for Elijah Hawkins. So pretty easy game. Arkansas, Pine Bluff, nothing to really look at like as a as good competition. They fought, I thought, pretty good in the first half, but ultimately Texas Tech able to blow it away. Unfortunately, couldn't get two more points to get to 100, so the Red Raider basketball team still hasn't reached the century mark this year, despite being in the 90s just about every game. But four games are down, albeit against pretty weak competition, but I just want to get your first thoughts on the Red Raiders so far this season before we dive into the Texas Tech basketball roster.
Yeah, this... I just want to say, like, going to the first game, I've never been that excited going to basketball for a very meaningless opponent opening game. And just because I knew what we had going into this season, and we haven't had that in, what, 4 years-ish?
Really, since the Elite Eight and Final Four teams.
I mean... We knew the roster construction was really good. We got some really good guys coming back. We got a great top-end transfer to come in. We have a very stable and good coach and coaching staff. And, like, just the relief of all that and the expectations of, like, we're going to already be really good was so nice to go into a game in a season. And then... the second thing, kind of building on that, watching this team, you don't have as much hectic stuff going on.
You know? Yeah.
Whether that be the coaching staff, because that's been hectic for the last 3 years, just because we didn't know what Grant was last year. You know, we were just unsure. 2 years of Adams was hectic all over the place, never ending. And so, like, the stability of a coach and being really good. And then the stability and the control and smoothness of the playing and the players was so nice to watch. I love watching our point guards be in control and playmakers, not flailing around and jacking up shots and complaining and falling on the floor all the time. You know, it's just so much, so nice, and what a relief to be free of all those things that we've had to deal with for the last 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I haven't missed Pop like once this season watching the game. I'm like, man, it's kind of nice to not watch him jack up. You know, I'm not a Pop hater. Don't get it wrong. But his inefficiency definitely grew annoying at times, and him just like taking shots on and kind of ruining possessions. It's just been kind of nice to watch a Chance with the ball and Darian and more efficient basketball players getting a little bit more opportunity to kind of showcase their skills. And especially the first two of the games of the season where you didn't have Hawkins and you didn't have Christian Anderson, like you really got to see kind of the playmaker that Chance can be. And the playmaker that Darian can be, because we had to rely on them to do most of your point work since you didn't really have anybody. Yeah. So, like, getting to see them kind of fill that role and just being like, oh, man, it's just kind of nice to watch good basketball players just play and do what they're good at. And not like Pop's a bad basketball player, but, like, just some of the decision-making that he made, I think, really downwardly affected your team last year. And I think you just have a lot of smart decision-makers, guys who are unselfish, guys who are going to pass the ball to get a better look, pass up a great shot to get – or a good shot to get a great shot. Like, you're just going to see that unselfishness. I thought you saw it a little bit last night in a couple moments where, like, might have hurt you, but it's like Chance has a wide-open two-point jumper, but he's trying to get it to JT Toppin. And it's just like you can tell that this team's really meshing well and blending together, and guys really want to play for each other. And they want to there's not like a me first mentality that I think some players have had for us in the past. And so I really like this team. I was really excited heading into the season. Of course, you're always waiting until you actually see the guys play. And yeah, for the first four games, I've been pretty impressed with this team. Nobody good on the other side of the ball. But I mean, you were 18 point favorites against Wyoming and you just completely annihilated them in game three. And so, like, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing against these bad teams. And of course, the competition ramps up here this week. And so we'll get a better idea of this team. But I really like all the pieces we got. And I like the coaching staff. I like Grant. And I think this is a pretty damn good looking squad. Am I mad that we're not ranked right now? No. I wish people would quit griping about us not being ranked when we have played terrible teams. Right? You're not going to get ranked for playing bad opponents when other teams are challenging themselves. My one gripe with Texas Tech basketball would be that we never have a important home game until January when conference play starts. Mm-hmm. That's always frustrating, especially as season ticket holders. We pay all this money for these tickets, and for the first 2 months of the season, nobody worthwhile comes into the United Supermarkets Arena. So that stuff's frustrating. But we finally get to watch good basketball on Thursday as the Red Raiders get set to face off with St. Joseph. So let's dive into the roster now, and then we'll get our thoughts on kind of the roster breakdown, construction, X factors, expectations, and everything for this team. Let's start off with the returners, the familiar faces. You bring back a group of six players from last year, really five that are actually going to play. I got to give the guy a nod, Dustin left in the before we hopped on here, but Jack Francis, one of the returning players, has sophomore season for him. Of course, we'll all just get to see him in blowout wins like the first four games of the season's come in to help us not reach 100 points. So we won't be seeing much of Jack, but the fan favorite, of course, when he comes into the game, everybody will be hollering for him to get hopefully one shot and be able to score. Another familiar face returning for his second season at Texas Tech, Emily Yalahu, the kid from Finland. Last year played for you in spurts, didn't do a whole lot for you, didn't get to see what he was capable of. He did have some times to, you know, hit some threes, had a nice little looking shot, had to battle for some rebounds for you. So far has not played this season as he has been out with what has been deemed a lower leg injury, not really sure the extent of it. I know he's been kind of in warmups, and then like right before the games, they have decided not to play him. So I don't think it's anything too serious. I just don't think that they're willing to risk him getting hurt worse, especially with the competition that you've been playing. Your thoughts on Mr. Yalahu for this second season and any expectations you might have for this guy who probably is not going to get a whole lot of minutes.
Shouldn't get a whole lot of minutes, which we were surprised that he had to play so much last year, and you could tell he wasn't quite ready. Still showed you some decent flashes as a freshman, but yeah, he needs a development year. He didn't really get that as much last year as we would have hoped. And so hopefully this year with some more big man depth that we have, that he can learn from these guys a lot more and not have to worry about what he's got to do every game, because he's going to have to play a handful of minutes. And so that should be a good year. I'm not that concerned about his nagging injury right now.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about the injury. I was pretty intrigued by, you know, what kind of jump he made from year one to year two, to just kind of see that. So that's, you know, been disappointing that we haven't really got to see him, because these are the games where he would get some minutes against some of these inferior teams that you're pummeling. So this could have been valuable minutes for him. So that's a little bit disheartening for him, I'm sure. I mean, he had some nice moments for us last year. Seemed like he could be a good shooter, good kind of shooting threat for you at the forward position. I don't really know what to expect. Like, will he be a 10-minute per game guy? Will he be
I don't think so.
A bench guy? I don't really know. You have some depth at the forward position this year that are guys that Grant obviously trusts more, with guys that we'll get to later. And so I don't really know where he fits into this roster, but he's definitely a guy to have in case you do experience an injury or something like that, that can be valuable for you. Like Federico didn't play in the last game. I think it'd have been nice to have Yalahu available for games like that, but we'll see. He's a guy who might be low on the minutes for this season, but a familiar face. Another familiar face, we got to see a little bit of him last year before he tore his ACL. That's Devin Cambridge. He's back for his super senior season. Last year was supposed to be a super senior season, I think. And then, of course, injury cut that short, yes. But he is back. So far this season, he's averaging 7.5 points per game, 4.3 rebounds a game. He's given us about 20 minutes per game. Last game, he played his most minutes for you by far. But what are your thoughts on Devin Cambridge making his return? Was able to start at the very beginning of the season. I think a lot of people kind of expected him to be back around December, but full go at the season tip.
Yeah, full go. They say I still feel like he's getting back into the swing of it.
Yeah, they're definitely like minutes restricting him here at the start, but.
And so, but the good news like for him is he doesn't have to like carry a very big load this year. Like,
yeah,
we have, you know, a very good small ball lineup. We have a JT Toppin. And so like, he doesn't have to be the big man, you know, for us. If he can give us an increase from 8 to a little bit more and give us a great 20 minutes, like that's what we need from him, mm-hmm. really. And so I'm glad he's back already and getting these kind of warm-up games and warm-up minutes to get back into the swing of things. So really excited to have him back and glad he stayed.
Yeah, it's an important piece to have. Like you said, I really like that. It's not like we don't have to super rely on him. Like last year, early on in the season, one of your most reliable lineups was him as the small ball 5. And I think you're going to see that a few times. You saw that just a little bit last night when you're, you know, giving top and rest and maybe you want to run a little bit with your team. But you don't have to rely so heavily on that, which is nice. That's really going to be top and who's going to be kind of your small ball 5 in big moments. But, you know, whatever he can add to this team is going to be a benefit because he can play big for you when you want to go bigger. Like he's a really important piece to have when you can throw him out there with Toppin or Federico. And his versatility, he can play inside, he can shoot the 3, and he can create some highlights for you on the lob threat. And so really versatile player who was one of your better players at the beginning of last year. I think a lot of people forget that he was a really good for you at the beginning of the year. One of the guys that you could really trusted before he got hurt and then you lost him. So sometimes that can be a blessing in disguise, maybe getting him back for this year where he might fit better with this team and do a little bit more damage in spurts rather than having to rely on him to be your second big behind Warren Washington. Mm-hmm. Next up, a guy we're all familiar with, a current longest tenured Red Raider. That's Kerwin Walton, the 3-point shooting specialist in his super senior season for the Red Raiders. He's averaging 11 points per game, 2.3 rebounds per game, shooting 48% from 3 so far this season. He's averaging about 27 minutes for the Red Raiders so far. Your thoughts on Kerwin Walton, one of our favorite players to watch, just kind of goes out there, does what he does, and does it pretty quietly, I guess.
That's funny you say he's our longest tenured guy, and he's been here going into his third year. And barely played the first year he was here. We're ecstatic to have Kerwin back and how he has started lighting up beyond the 3-point line to start the year. He did blow a shoe out last night.
Yeah. Who would have thought Kerwin Walton and Zion Williamson would have ever had anything in common like that on the basketball court? But they do.
Adidas needs to work on that. But then I thought there was only 4.5 minutes left. We were up, you know, 40. I figured we would have just sat him for the rest of the game. No, he got another pair of shoes and came back in and hit another 3. But, Kerwin's great beyond the arc for sure. He still has some lapses on defense and some maybe hustling for rebounds. But that comes with how good a shooter he is. I mean, he's probably the best 3-point shooter in the country. Like, I'd love to put him up against anybody. Like, he's definitely the like hottest and quickest release out there. And this is the team. Like, we built so many things around each other building this roster, and Kerwin was one of them. Getting a guy that can space the floor like this. And we saw in that first game, what he went, he had like 7 3-pointers.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're quick too. He's lethal back there. So yeah, I'm excited to see what he can do with the scoring options we have around him and a really good point guard finally.
Yeah, you know, like we forget about his first year here because he was just not utilized correctly. And last year we really weren't sure what we were getting with him. And then it became one of the pleasant surprises of last season. And so to get this weapon back, just to have like the consistency he has at shooting the long ball is something every offense in college basketball wants. You know, you want a guy who can just go out there and consistently make about 50% from three, who can get that kind of unconsciously hot from three where like it's pretty crazy. Like that first game was just really impressive. 7 threes from him. His stroke is just so pure. It's so that muscle memory. It's the same every single time. He's always so in control.
Fast, so quick.
And yeah, it's just it's just fun to watch him shoot threes, and especially once he gets going, it just it's something to watch. And he might not even be the best 3-point shooter on the team, which is great. Like he might be one of the best in the country, but might be second best on the team because Chance McMillan, another returner for you, and his super senior season so far. 14.3 points per game for Chance in his second year with the Red Raiders, 3.8 rebounds per game, 3.8 assists per game. He's been doing a little bit of everything for the team while shooting 65% from the floor and 57% from three so far this season. He's currently leading the team in minutes per game so far with 31.5 minutes per game. Loved Chance last year, was another guy who could just get really unconsciously hot from three. He had a couple games, one against Butler, one against Oklahoma, where he just lit it up from three. Your thoughts on Chance McMillan in his second season here at Texas Tech and what he provides for this basketball team?
Yeah, like you, I was a huge Chance fan last year of him coming off the bench and what he gave you. Probably your best, like, pure scorer from all three levels.
Yeah.
Like he can get his own shot at all three of those levels as well. And the jump I've seen him make from, you know, the fill-in guy off the bench last year to a starter that is easily double digits, if not maybe trying to lead your team in scoring every game. Like, he's been the best guard on your team so far, and the jump I've seen from him is incredible, and that's the kind of jump you need from guys like that to make a run in this conference and in March. And so I'm ecstatic for what he can give you this year.
Yeah, I'm really high on Chance. I was really high on him last year. I think he rewarded all the fans who believed in him. And then this year, you think about it with a little bit more time with the ball in his hands. Pop, you know, I think he's benefited the most from Pop leaving. Is he's getting the ball in his hands a little bit more. He's a better shot creator, I think, and he's just a better shooter. He's a more efficient shooter. He is one of the best three-point shooters in the country so far this season. He's just been consistently able to knock down those shots. You're seeing it so far this season. He's a little bit more comfortable creating for other players. You know, he's got 3.8 assists per game. You know, he's able to do that. He's able to get his own shot. He's able to attack the rim. You know, with his athleticism, he can get out on fast breaks too. And so he's just a guy you always have to be worried about. And yeah, he's benefiting so far from, the extra, ball in his hands. You know, he had to kind of be the point for you in the first two games this season. And I think that's really helped him turn into kind of a do it all guy for you, a guy you trust in a lot of situations, going to make the right play the majority of the time. And a guy like almost every time he shoots it, his shot is just also so pure that, you know, every time he shoots it, it looks like it's going in.
Yeah.
And so excited to see what he turns into for this year. I'm real excited for Chance. And the last guy, probably my favorite player last year, definitely my favorite player last year, one of my favorite players that's put on the Red Raider jersey, Darian Williams. Of course, we'll all remember his perfect game against Kansas last year. Came into the season. I don't think anybody expected him to be your best player at the end of the season, but that's what he turned into for you. Just efficient, consistent, do-it-all type of player for you. He comes in. This is his junior season, his second season here at Texas Tech. And so far on the season, he's averaging 14.5 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, 6 assists per game, 1.5 steals so far this season per game, and doing that in 28 minutes of play. Your thoughts on the do-it-all weapon, D5, Darian Williams?
Yeah, this is the guy I was going to call the do-it-all before you slipped in it on chance a little bit. The D5, he's made – I mean, he was incredible coming into last year, and he's even improved on that starting off this year, which is amazing to see. And even in bad games like he had a couple nights ago, like, he still is able to put up 11 assists and affect the game in other ways and get other guys going. And, you know, we know how good of a rebounder he is, and he can hold his own on defense. And so he's going to be really good in this offense. And when we talk about, like, the composition of this team, you know, it melds so well together in that, you know, we're still running that D5 ISO in the post a little bit just so teams don't forget about it, but that's not our go-to play anymore, whereas last year that's like all we had at some points. And so he's going to benefit a ton from all this spacing, and like it's going to be nice to see the jump. And he's already getting NBA buzz from the consistency that he's kept up from last year.
Do you think he looks a bit thicker this year?
I think he's always kind of looked thick, to be honest.
Dude, I don't know. I've been watching. Maybe he fills out a little more, like, though. He just looks like bigger. And I don't know if that maybe slowed him down a little bit, or there's been a couple times where he had some opportunities for maybe dunking it. It didn't seem like he had the same kind of lift that he might've had last year. I don't know. But yeah, I'm a big fan of Darian Williams. He's my favorite player coming into this season. When I said like do it all offensively, I meant for Chance. Like he's kind of the offensive do it all. I don't think he's really there defensively. Darian is kind of just a little bit do it all sides of the court, offensively, defensively. He takes some of the better players on in that role. He sometimes has to play big for you down low, which is good that I guess he maybe had a little extra weight. Does a lot of rebounding for you, a lot of assists in there on a lot of the steals for you this season. And one of the things I love about a guy like Darian, it's like the same kind of thing like with Luka, and like get the rebound and then you're immediately into your offense. You know, when he gets the rebound, you're already in transition. I love that kind of stuff. Instead of having to stop and wait and find your point guard to push the ball, like when he gets the rebound, you're already in offensive attack mode.
Yeah.
And he makes really good decisions. He's able to make some passes down the court that other guys wouldn't see, able to set guys up for three, or able to take it himself. And so he's just a really efficient offensive player, usually makes the right decision, knows where to be on the defensive side of the ball, and, you know, really your leader for this team this year. Like, he's kind of taken that leadership role for you. You've been able to see it all off season, and so you can definitely see he has a different energy on the court. Talks a little bit more this season. I'm noticing talks a little more shit to other teams. I've noticed that that too. He's a talker, but when you have that good of a basketball game, you're kind of allowed to talk your shit. I'm not going to knock it. So those are your returners. Obviously, we're familiar with Kerwin, Chance, and Darian, and three of the leaders of this team, and expect them to do big things for the Red Raiders if they're going to go far this season. The transfers start off with Corbin Green, transfer from Air Force, a guy that you might have not known was on the team at the start of the season. It kind of slipped in there, but that is Corbin Green. If you're thinking, seeing a guy that you don't recognize, that's Corbin Green, transfer from Air Force. Not going to play a lot of minutes for you. Yeah. One of those guys who comes in clean up duty at the very end of the game, keep you from getting 100 points. Next transfer, Federico, the tallest player on your team at 6'11", the transfer from Pitt. This year so far, In three games, as he did not play in the last game, he's averaging 6 points per game, 4.7 rebounds per game in 16 minutes of play for you. What are your thoughts so far on Federico?
So far from watching him, I don't know what to think.
Yeah.
You know, we were hearing some stuff from inside that he progressed really well in the transfer from Pitt to here, and I don't think we've seen that just yet. I know, like, in the Wyoming game when Hawkins was finally back in the swing of things, him and Federico got some lobs going. Yeah. That was nice to see. And now he's out for a little bit. But, I mean, we're going to need him. That's for sure. I mean, he's our tallest player, like you said, and kind of have a three-man rotation there in the big spots with Cambridge and Toppin and Fede. So we kind of need him in there. And so I don't know what to think of him just yet. Hadn't really given you a ton in these first few games.
Yeah, it hasn't given you a ton, but I can see, like, he's obviously not going to be a big minute guy for you this year, as, like, in his games he's only given 16 for you. But if for those 16 minutes he can come in and be a lob threat, a rim-running threat, create some extra opportunities for you on offense with some rebounding. I think he's been a pretty good rebounder for you so far, been able to clean up some of the glass on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, if that's what he can come in and do, provide some length, disruption shots, block a shot here or there, cause some players to rethink attacking the goal when he's in. Like, that's really what you're asking for him. You know, you're not asking him to do anything offensively. Whatever he gives you, you know, 6 points per game is going to be awesome from him, because that's all he can really do is dunk the ball. But yeah, if he can come out there in spurts, play some good defense for you, lock down the inside, and then, you know, kind of, like I said, create extra opportunities with some offensive rebounding, get some dunks for you, that's going to be great. That's what you kind of need, just a guy who can spell Toppin and kind of switch up things on the defensive side of the ball for you. Another transfer who is playing 28 minutes per game so far from you, and that's Kevin Overton, the transfer from Drake University. He is entering his sophomore season after a stellar freshman season at Drake that saw them make the NCAA tournament. Kevin Overton so far on the season averaging 12 points per game for you, so double figure, another player in double figures for you. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different guys right now averaging double figure points for you. So that's good to have so far this season. Averaging 2.5 rebounds per game, 2 assists per game. As I said, 28 minutes per game. Your thoughts on the lefty from Drake, Kevin Overton?
You know, after the first game, I wasn't very high on him. And I was like, ooh, maybe he's not ready type thing. He had seemed a little hesitant out there, a little slow. And then the last three games, he's like, all right, that was a fluke. And he's been pretty awesome, to be honest. You can see.
I thought he was like a little too energetic in that first game, or like a little too, nervous. Yeah. I don't know. But he's.
I don't know if it was like too big of a moment, like first home game and, you know, going a little smaller school to up here. Like, but I was like, oh, maybe he's not quite ready. Like, and then, oh, no, he definitely is, because he's. He also looks like a basketball player.
Yeah.
Dude, like that guy. Yeah, basketball player for sure.
Yeah.
And he really got us going this last game when Pine Bluff was like running a zone and he started getting aggressive with the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. And like that's where he kind of looks nice. He has a lot of chance in his game and like he can do it on his own. He can hit the spot up three. He can get to the rack if he needs to. But you can see the shot making is there and the efficiency is pretty good from him as well. And that's the reason you really wanted him on this team.
Yeah. He had 17 points, 6 of 9 shooting, 3 of 6 from three. He's also been able to get to the free throw line a lot for you so far this season. Yeah. I've been really impressed with him. Like you said, kind of the first game, you're like, like you can see the potential there, but whatever was kind of going on in that game for him, it was a little funky, but then since then he's come out and he's been great for you the last three games. I thought this last game was just kind of the best example. He was knocking down threes pretty smoothly. He was able to attack the basket, zone breaker for you. He just like a little fearless. Yeah, like he doesn't look like he's scared to go up against anybody. He looks like that kind of guy that just like thinks he's better than everybody else when he walks on the court when he's playing. And yeah, he's been impressive. He's got good size. He can get to the rim pretty impressively. He's strong too. He's able to finish around the rim as well, despite, you know, defenders kind of being on him. That's been impressive to see. It was good to see him knock down some threes in this last game. So just kind of another versatile offensive player that you get to throw along with a bunch of other guys that we've already mentioned. And I have a feeling I'll talk about him a little bit more with a certain segment. But yeah, I really liked what I've seen so far from Kevin Overton, and just expect him to grow as he's just in his sophomore season. And I think going to be a big player for you. Next up on the transfer list, it's a senior guard. He's gotten to play the last two games, so we've gotten a quick glimpse of him. But what we've seen so far, the returns have been pretty exciting. That's Elijah Hawkins, the transfer from Minnesota so far this season. 8.5 points per game, 2 rebounds, 8 assists per game already, 3.5 steals per game just so far, 2 games this season. But he's averaged 19.5 minutes in both of these games as he's still getting healthy. Your thoughts so far on Elijah Hawkins, and as Chris Lovell said in the game, he's not a painter, he's an artist.
This is my favorite player that we brought in, and for the reasons of how the composition of this team, he's going to make everything flow and go places. And like you can see it in these last two games, how much smoother some offensive stuff is. And he should have more assists than that, just because we have dropped some passes that we weren't ready for, because he's making some ridiculously amazing passes.
And yeah, you got to have your head on a swivel when he has the ball.
Yeah, he's always going to look to pass it to you. He's even making some floaters and some threes. But I mentioned at the top, like going from guys like Pop and Joe and Davion Harmon, who are all good basketball players, but they're more ball centric.
Yeah,
little
ball would get stuck in their hands.
Little chaotic point guards, you know. And Elijah is the opposite of that. He is under control. He's trying to make something happen to get somebody else a great shot in the ball. And it's been really fun to watch him, especially like work in the lane and get easy lobs to whoever's down low. And so he's also pesky on defense too.
Dude,
can't just pick on him because he's the smallest guy on the floor in the team. So that's also a plus.
Yeah, that's the one thing I wasn't really expecting.
Yeah.
And yeah, he had 5 steals in that game last night. Like, he was just all over the ball. In the first game, he had a few steals in his, 13 minutes of play. In game one, he had 5 assists and a couple steals. It's so much fun to watch him. Like you, I've been really excited when he came on the floor. He was a guy I was excited about. I wasn't really sure what to expect, but man, he's faster than Joe was. Like, he's smoother than Joe was. Like, remember watching Joe and like Davion Harmon and stuff? It was like laboring with them dribbling. The ball would get stuck. The offense wouldn't move. Like, when he has the ball, he's constantly moving. He's trying to find ways to get guys open, trying to figure out how I'm going to break this defense down. And he's constantly like, you've got to keep your head on a swivel. Like I said, he's making some passes. He's going to, if you're open, he's going to feed it to you. So you got to be ready for the ball. It's just fun to watch a guy like that. We haven't really had like an assist first guy playing for us in a while. We had like, a lot of guys who are trying to get their own shots or feel like they have to do that. But yeah, the ball's moving great with him. He's also can attack the rim, hit some floaters, got a good lob game to, hit a lob to Cambridge, hit a few to Fetty in his first game. And so he's definitely going to be a guy who causes a lot of problems for a lot of defenses and is going to be really fun to play with. Like if you're Chance, if you're Kerwin, if you're Darian, if you're JT Toppin, like this guy's going to get me the ball and create easy opportunities for me to score. And I'm going to be able to stuff my stat sheet. And like Toppin, I think, had 6 straight points just because Hawkins was just like, here you go, here you go, here you go, just right on the platter. And so it's something that I think McCaslin's system needs is a true point guard, a guy who's going to get you create for the team, but also a guy who can score and a guy who's also going to be feisty on defense. Love what I've seen from him in his little bit of run that we've got from him. And then, of course, the prize of the offseason and so far the prize of this season for the Red Raiders, that's JT Toppin, the New Mexico transfer here in his sophomore season. So far on the season, 20.5 points per game, 9.5 rebounds per game, one steal a game, one block a game, 24 minutes so far, 72% shooting from the field so far. That's been the most impressive part to me, is just almost automatic down low. Your thoughts so far on the early returns of JT Toppin, the hopefully future NBA first rounder?
Yeah, I mean, I watched a lot of his New Mexico highlights and film when we first got him, and it was pretty good. You know, he's also playing some lower competition. I mean, not saying Mountain West is lower, but you're not playing D5 type stuff every week. And he's definitely improved on some of that. He's like watching Kerwin shoot threes, but down low. Yeah. I feel like he never misses easy. Like,
it's like shocking when he misses. They're like, what?
It's just, he makes a nice move. He gets to that left hand and bam, it's in. Like every time. And then his rebounding is incredible.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost every time that's his rebound. And just the fact that he's that good on the offensive end and he's always moving. And then if we need him, he can go ISO. And then the rebounding on the defensive and shot blocking in is pretty good too. So, like, yeah, he's definitely – I know we love D5 and just talked a ton about Hawkins, but Toppin's by far your best player.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive to watch. Yeah, I wasn't really sure, like, offensively what he'd be, but, man, it's been so long since we've had just, like, that kind of low post threat who you can get the ball to and, like, go to work, and he's going to make the right decision. And he just he has this, like, patience in his game that's really fun to watch. Like, he – not in a hurry, knows where the guy's at, how he's going to get to beat him, and he gets to a spot like every single time. And then he gets you going, and he has such a quick rise that the defender's not ready. He gets that ball up and he gets it over, so there's no way of blocking his shot or anything like that. Just really impressive. He's knocked down a couple threes from you. He's got some good passing game to him too, where he's hitting guys. And I think, like, what you've really missed, especially last year, was just like that low post threat where you can go inside, outside, and that creates better opportunities for your shooters. And so, like, guys are going to benefit from, all right, they're having to play him low, and he's dominating them. He's already got 16 points in the first half. They're going to start trying to chip in on him, and that's when he's going to be able to kick it out to Chance, Kerwin, Darian, and they're going to be able to go to work. And so he just provides a lot of versatility for this offense, and he's been really impressive to watch. He's, that Wyoming game was really fun to watch. He had 16 points and 8 rebounds in the first half. And you're like, that's a lot of dudes' dream to have that stat line. And he had it in the first 20 minutes of the game.
Yeah, he also he does like the Culver thing a little bit of
– yeah.
He makes it look so easy and none of it's like a wow type play. And then all of a sudden you look up, hey, he's got 16 points.
Yeah. Yeah, and he just snatches those balls on rebounds too. Like, he's just he's been really fun to watch. Obviously, we all knew he was a really big portal addition, but when you so far look at the other guys that were kind of in that spot we were going for, I think you made the right call.
Coleman Hawkins is like 0-6 tonight. So
he's been terrible. What a waste of money, Kansas State. Way to go. I love watching Kansas State spend all this money.
He pops terrible. Up when I refresh Twitter. He's averaging 8, 5, and 4 assists and got paid $2 million.
I think I've heard some great Osabor stuff's not going super well in Washington. So seems like you got a really good, young, motivated player who is just like a really good teammate, really good person, a really good basketball player. And that's what you want. And it's been really fun to watch him, and only think that things are going to get better and better for him as he continues to improve and as this team continues to get better. Last but not least on the roster, we've got a couple freshmen Two of them you will not see. Jazz Henderson, you will not be seeing this season. He is out for the season with an injury, so you will not see him. And guard Leon Horner, you will not be seeing a lot of him. He'll be coming in that cleanup duty. It's him, Jack Francis, and Corbin Green, who are like the three end of the bench guys. So, no, you won't expect to see much of him. But the freshman phenom so far for the Red Raiders, the guy that a lot of people had a lot of hype for after he went and won gold with Germany in the under 17 tournament this summer. A lot of good things about him at camp. Christian Anderson, your freshman, was going to Michigan until Juwan Howard got out of there, gave you a chance to get in on the recruiting. He comes to Lubbock, Texas, and unfortunately missed the first two games of the season, but came in, and in his two games, he's averaging 8.5 points per game, 2 rebounds per game, 4 assists per game. He's playing 27 minutes for you in those two games so far. What are your thoughts on the young freshman so far this season?
I'm surprised by him in a great way. Yeah. And I mean, we heard some stuff coming out of camp that, you know, he's improved or been the highlight type deal. I don't know. But, like, yeah, he's really impressed me, especially, like, as a true freshman. I don't see that when he's on the floor at all. He looks bigger than advertised, I think, as well. And
so pretty skinny. But yeah, he holds his own pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a solid like 6'2" or 6'3", I think, but looks longer than that, but shoots the ball really well. And he's played really good. I think being with, you know, a couple other really good guards in this team has really helped also for him to jump up his game. Yeah. He's been a great surprise.
Yeah. He definitely was getting a lot of buzz in camp. A lot of players that you were hearing, he's going to play. He's going to play like real minutes for you. I think when you got him, you're like, oh, he's just going to spell Elijah Hawkins from time to time. But,
They've been playing alongside each other a lot.
Yeah. I think he's going to play real minutes from this team. Now, there might be some games where might be too much for him when you get into Big 12 play. And so,
yeah,
I think this upcoming test this week will be a good kind of primer for how many minutes you're going to see him actually play in kind of bigger type games. But I mean, his first shot that he knocked down was a three. He's got a great looking shot. He was able to create some shots for himself in the Wyoming game. I thought, you know, you did see a couple of freshman mistakes from him in this last game, getting a little too ahead of himself. He had a couple turnovers that you would like to see him clean up, but you're kind of going in knowing he's going to have to learn and make some of those mistakes to get better. But real good looking shot, real good looking handle on the ball. Seems like he knows where to go with it, and yeah, like getting to learn from Elijah Hawkins. That's not bad either. So whatever you get from him is going to just be a plus for this team, obviously. You've got a lot of good experience on this team, but to have a young gun like him could be really valuable for you. So that rounds out the roster. And so, Justin, your thoughts on the roster construction for this team?
Yeah, I mentioned it a few times, but I love, love, love this roster construction. Buffington and Grant did an amazing job putting this team together. You know, they didn't just go out and look at the transfer list and be like, all right, we need 5 of the top 40 guys. We didn't get any of those
top Coleman Hawkins
40 guys. Like, even Toppin wasn't on the top of
that.
He was pretty up there in his position, but like overall,
yeah,
not really. And then like Elijah Hawkins, people are like, oh, he's kind of a small guard, even though he does get all these assists. It's like, he's been getting assists for 4 years. What do you want from the man? And like,
you don't want a guy who creates 8 opportunities for people to score a game? Okay.
Yeah, the composition of this team is so fluid, and it's deeper than we thought, too.
But yeah, I mean, agreed.
I mean, Kerwin's the only one that really needs to just spot up and shoot, but like we just said, he's probably the best shooter in the country at doing that job. And like having an amazing point guard to run the pick and roll with, and Chance and Darian, we know what they give you, and it's a lot. And then having a guy like Toppin down low, and all these 3 guys that I just mentioned can play ISO ball if you really need them to, but they don't have to.
Yeah.
And that's something we have missed in the last few years. We've had like an ISO guy that's what they need and all they do type stuff. Like, all these guys are, they're very fluid and you can do a lot with them. And so, like, the amount of stuff you can do with them, we had a lot of small ball lineups. We're going to be small this year. I mean, that's our only weakness is we're not big.
I don't know. I feel like you can go big. I feel like you can run some big lineups if you want. Like, you're obviously not like 7 foot lineups.
But right.
You
could, that's all I mean is you're not running out a 16 and a 7 foot and, you know, dominating some people down low, but you can definitely, you know, run out Cambridge and over and Toppin and have a pretty good 1-2 down low with those guys. Yeah, like the fact that you're at least 8 deep and 9 deep with Fetty down low, like, and you feel really good about those guys, I think.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. And I mean, I really loved our starting five that we started with last game of Hawkins, Chance, Kerwin, D5, and Toppin. Little small ball type lineup. In that sense, but I think you're going to see a lot of that this year. But yeah, you can handle some down low stuff. But yeah, the roster construction is just so, so good.
Yeah, I think like you could clearly see they had a plan. It wasn't just like a lot of other schools are doing and just get, like you said, get the names in the portal. We got to spend whatever money to get these names. I think they go in, they have a clear directive, they have clear player types that they want, they have mm-hmm. guys that they want who have tournament experience, who've been a part of winning. They have, you know, the kind of person they are, the kind of player that they're going to be. Are they just chasing a bag or are they out here to actually play mm-hmm. basketball with these guys? And I think they do a good job of identifying those players and getting those players on the roster. And I think, like, this is great roster construction. When you think of teams that have a lot of success, they have guys down low. You have a post player like you haven't had in a long time who can get you buckets and be a problem down low. You have shooting and three-point shooters with an arsenal of guys. You have guys who can create their own shots. Yeah. You have guys who can get through the rim, and you have a point guard who can create opportunities for other players. This is the exact kind of roster construction that you need to have a long march, to have a long and maybe make it to April. Like, there are just a lot of different pieces here. And like you said, you can go small if you want to run. You have a great lineups for that. If you want to go with some length, I mean, like, could you see a Chance, Kevin Overton, Darian, D5, and Toppin kind of lineup that's just going to be able to, we're going to switch everything and we're going to cause problems and we're just going to be a little bit bigger than you, but also, like, you still have a lot of shot creation and rebounding and defense and offense with those lineups. It's just, it's a really versatile lineup. It's really deep. It's got a lot of players with experience. You have the young kind of players too, like Kevin Overton, JT Toppin, Christian Anderson. Like, this is the most similar to that 2019 team that by made far. By far, with the experience that you have, the young guys you have, the shooting you have, the versatility that you have with this roster.
You shouldn't have the lull in your games when you have to sub some guys and, you know, you have a lineup with Lamar and two other guys out there that can't score and two other guys that can score, but they can't do it on their own. And it's like, how are we going to score with this lineup? Like, you don't have that as really, you shouldn't have that. Like, Fetty's the only guy that can't do it on his own, to be honest, like, can't score. And so, like, you should be able to sub guys and not have lulls of offense in your game this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think the offense, like, so far it's been so smooth. Like you said, it hadn't really been a drop off with any players. It's
I feel like getting the 90s been really easy.
Pretty easy. Like, it just doesn't feel like there's moments to struggle. And if they're, you know, that's been the nice part. The ball moves around, it doesn't stick with certain players. It's constantly kind of moving, keeping the defense on their toes, and you're creating a lot of opportunities. And you might have some turnovers, but they're not like the bad turnovers where, like, it's like you're trying, you can see the creation that they're trying, or Elijah Hawkins was trying to make this pass, guy just wasn't looking for it, you know, stuff like that. Not just like some of the lazy turnovers where you're just throwing it right to the defender. So I think there's a lot of promise with this team. I think Grant did a great job of constructing this roster from the type of guys you have to the type of lineups that you can run. Really excited about what this team can do. Who do you think is your biggest X factors for this team?
After watching for, you know, four games so far, I think your biggest X factor might be Kevin Overton. Like, and what he's already jumped up to give you, like, in the double digits, being a really good off-the-bench guard for you that can do things like Chance was doing for you last year. And I didn't know we were going to get that much from him.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what I think is as X factor. Like, not a stud, but a guy that's like, whoa, we didn't expect this much from him. And yeah, he's hopefully going to regularly give us, you know, 12 or so and some length, like you said.
Yeah, he's mine as well. I think, like, when I look at, like, the potential for this team, and I think I've told you this, it's like, if this team's going to make a run, and I think this team has the capability of doing that with the roster construction that you have and the players, I think what needs to happen is you need, like, JT Toppin to become that kind of NBA first round, maybe lottery type pick. He becomes maybe he can make it into the lottery. I think Darian needs to solidify himself as an NBA draft pick, not necessarily saying first round, but a guy that you're like, all right, he's definitely going to get drafted that day. And I think the third kind of big thing for me is for Overton to make that kind of Darian Williams leap that Darian made last year, where, like you said, it started off a little slow, but then by the end of the year was one of your better players, actually your best player. Yeah, I'm saying Kevin Overton needs to become your best player, but if he can just improve and be another guy and just get better, like, he's just a sophomore. And so, and you're seeing the potential that he has by the end of the season. If he can be one of the better players on this team while the other guys still improve, like, you're going to be a really solid team with about 6-7 guys deep that you just absolutely trust. And so I think he's a huge X factor. And then I would throw, you know, Christian Anderson and whatever he can kind of turn into this year, you know, a freshman who can come in and give you 15 minutes a game and be a knockdown shooter and creator and solidify that point guard role for you going forward after this season. Like,
correct.
That like the trajectories of those two guys, I think will make a huge difference because you already kind of know what you're getting with the other guys. I think. And so whatever these guys can become for you, that's just going to change the trajectory of your season. I look like what Kyler Edwards was to you and your 19 team mm-hmm. that made the Final Four. Can Christian Anderson kind of become a player like that for you that can come off and be a knockdown three-point shooter, creator, and do some things for you? And so, yeah, a lot of exciting things with this roster, a lot of exciting players, and they've all done a lot of exciting things so far to start this season. So let's get to it. What are your expectations for this team? Where do you see this team's season ending when it's all said and done?
Yeah, so the Big 12, I've mentioned this, is going to be very, very good this year. I think there's three teams in the top five and two others in the top 10 and one or two others in the top 20. And we're not ranked. And I feel as good about this team as almost ever. And we're going to finish worse than last year in the Big 12. And that's okay. I think we finish around that 4-6 range in the Big 12.
Yeah. There has been some Big 12 letdowns to start the season. Like, Arizona went and lost to Wisconsin. So maybe there's opportunity to jump them. Kent State doesn't seem like the Kent State that a lot of people thought they were going to be. Baylor's dropped one, but Gonzaga looks pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Houston's dropped one. You know, I definitely agree that the Big 12 is going to be chaotic like it always is. And I definitely think there's a lot more teams. You know, Cincinnati is, I think, going to be pretty good. Yep. BYU looks pretty good. So there's some other teams out there that I think we got to worry about. But, yeah, I don't think it's – your record might be a tad worse. You might have a worse finish, but you're still going to be, I think, a better team and a team more well-suited for a tournament run than maybe last year's team. And that's, you know, it's not a bad thing. But I also see a potential of this team to finish maybe top three. So I think there's a wide variety of this.
That I wouldn't be surprised by that. And like the other thing I wrote down was like, just in the expectations part, it's like, we're going to be very good. And the lower teams, I expect some blowouts with this team, to be honest, with our offensive power. But we're going to be in Big 12 contention. I know I just said we're going to finish around fifth, but that's Big 12 contention, to be honest. But like,
that could be a game or two out. Like
exactly. Yeah. But like, I feel like we're going to be in every game to the last couple minutes. And like, these games are going to be even more high stakes than before. And like, I don't think we, you know, get blown out by a Kansas when we go up there, or Arizona, or like, or Houston, like last year, even though we were really hurt in that game. But like, I think every game's going to be down to the wire in these very, very top of the league type games. And we're going to be in every game because of our depth and our skill and experience.
Yeah, I think so too. It's going to be a tough team to beat. It really is. And, you know, sure, there might be a game here or there where it's a close game and then a team breaks away from you kind of at the end. But I think you're going to give teams problems every single time with the way that you can just attack them. And the three-point shooting on this team, like, I mean, we've had double-digit three-point games several times already this season. Oh, like, you started off the season tying a school record. You had over 10 last game. They had 13 last game. So this team has a really good ability to shoot the ball pretty efficiently. And that's what you need for a Big 12, for a good season, is just to consistently knock down shots. Sure, there's going to be games, but you have other ways of scoring and creating offense. You don't have to just rely on the shooting, but it's going to be a huge weapon for you. I definitely agree. I would say fourth place Big 12 is kind of where I feel like we'll finish up, but I think we're going to be right in the thick of this race.
We'll pick seventh, so.
I thought we were sixth.
I think we're seven. I think Cincinnati's six.
I thought they were five and we were six. We were seventh because there's Houston, Arizona, Kansas, Baylor, and Iowa State. And that's right.
Yep. So we're picked seventh. And you got us in that four range. I got us in that five range. So I definitely think we're better five, than expected.
I think always like one or two teams in the Big 12 kind of, you know, have some struggles, might have some injuries and stuff like that. A couple teams rise up. I think you can be one of those teams. What's your prediction for like, all right, NCAA tournament time? What weekend do you think this team makes? I'm going to go second weekend. I always have a hard time going anything beyond the second weekend, but I definitely see this team being a Sweet 16 caliber team.
I want to honestly say Elite Eight.
That's why I keep it to the second weekend. That's why I say we make it to the second weekend. Who knows what happens in that second weekend, but I definitely want to see this team get past, you know, the first couple rounds, and I think they have the ability to do that.
No doubt.
Definitely have an ability to reach the Final Four. I'm not going to say start booking your tickets.
Agree with that. Honestly, like I've said it from the beginning, like we're going to finish worse in the Big 12.
Yeah.
But we have a chance to make the Final Four. But so does like the other five teams that are going to be right there with us. That's how good the Big 12 is, guys.
That's how good the Big 12 is. But yeah, this team is definitely poised to make a run. I wouldn't say go buy your, book of hotels and stuff for San Antonio. I have this theory that anytime anybody starts talking about Texas Tech Final Four too early, you basically guarantee that we're not going to make it. I think that's what's so sweet about the last when we did make it is nobody really planned on it. It just kind of happened. And then we were all frantically trying to book hotels week, which was awesome. So let's kind of go for that again. But big opportunities for the Red Raiders coming up. We've 4-0 on the season, but your first real tests come Thursday and Friday night. Thursday night, you face off against St. Joseph's. The last time you played them was in the NCAA tournament when they had Jameer Nelson running the show, and they were a one seed. Depending on the outcome of that, you will face either Syracuse or Texas in the win-loss game. And so two opportunities to get big wins, gets a good competition. What are your thoughts on the upcoming trip to Brooklyn for the Red Raiders and our first real chance to see this team play good teams.
Yeah, first real chance. I mean, St. Joe's is only in the hundreds in the RPI, I think.
Yeah.
This is not St. John's that Rick Pitino coaches, guys.
Yes, do not get them confused.
Get your Saints and your Red St. Joe teams correct. This is the lesser of them.
It's like a maroon-colored team, not red, yeah. Not the Red Storm.
Yeah, so should be able to win Thursday night. But yeah, it'd be fun to be in a big arena-type atmosphere also. They should be the home crowd there as well. With Syracuse, but honestly, we're all hoping Texas wins and we get to meet Texas in that champ game and beat their ass.
Get revenge for when they beat us here at home and no longer have to deal with Brock Cunningham. So
right. That would much be nice. Better team than we were last year. Yeah. I guarantee you that.
Yeah. It's just, I'm ready to see us play real competition and what this team looks like. Last few years, I've been nervous before these like kind of little tournament games to try to, you know, not sure what we're actually going to look like. I feel pretty confident that we're going to go out there and show what we're made of this week. And so that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for two dubs. My parents are going to be out there.
I'm watching this game. Texas's roster because I forgot who's on their team.
Yeah, I know they stumbled at the start of the season. They lost to, I can't remember who they lost to, but they lost to somebody. Ohio State, I think.
Shenda Weaver's still there. Caden Shedrick, the big dude from Virginia, still there. Oh, they got Arthur Kaluma, Kansas State kid.
Yeah, they're another team that just kind of threw money at portal dudes and put together a roster that kind of didn't make any sense.
Trey Johnson's their big freshman that they got.
Yeah, he's been a good shooter. I've seen he's like shooting 50% from three.
No one else like jumps off the screen at me, but.
Yeah, so they have some good players. So, I mean, it's just a good opportunity to get some big wins. Obviously, if you go in and put on a good showing this week, you'll probably find yourselves in the top 25. You are, however, number 9 in KenPom right now. But
yeah,
so I think that's where a lot of people have the struggles with us not being ranked as you're that high there. I mean, things will work itself out. And so I believe the Red Raiders will go put on a good showing this week, come up with a couple of dubs. Impress the college basketball fan bases and Red Raider Nation this weekend. Big games for the Red Raiders, big weekend coming up for basketball and football. Any other thoughts you have on the Red Raider basketball team before we get on out of here?
No, man.
All right, well, that will do it for Texas Tech basketball and football. Before we get out of here for the week, final shots. Dustin, you have anything?
No, that's all you, man.
One thing I did realize out here, and I'm sorry, we got to give a shout out to the Lady Raider soccer team who beat the LSU Tigers in the first round of the NCAA tournament at the Walker on Friday. So they move on. They face the Duke Blue Devils in the next round. So shout out to the ladies there for getting a big tournament win. Those are never easy. So, every time you get one, that's worth celebrating. And then also today, we've seen it around on social media, is the 25th anniversary of the United Supermarkets Arena, or formerly the United Spirit Arena, opening up 25 years ago when Bob Knight and the Indiana Hoosiers came to town to face off with the Red Raiders, and Bobby Knight, who, of course, ended up coaching at Texas Tech and in that stadium. So pretty cool. It's 25 years old. A lot of good memories in that stadium. Any thoughts you got on
the 25th birthday? That was Bob Knight coaching that game.
Yeah.
Or Texas Tech.
No, Indiana.
It was the other way around.
It was Dickey, who was our coach.
Ah, yeah. I'm a little ahead. Yeah, that game, Indiana won 66-60, I think. What a terrible game that must have been.
Yeah, but I did see a stat that was like Andy Ellis had like 30 points and 10 rebounds.
Half our points.
Yeah, I was like, damn.
Yeah. There you go, Andy. Buildings had a good run.
Yeah, a lot of good moments in there. I think they've kept up really good with it. It's
been
enjoyable. A lot of bathrooms, which I appreciate. That way there's never too long of lines like at Jones AT&T Stadium. Anyway, that'll do it for us this week here at the tailgate. A lot of Tech sports coming up this weekend. Big weekend for the basketball team. Big weekend for the football team to get back on track. We hope you guys enjoy your weekends, enjoy your tailgating, and enjoy the Red Raiders, hopefully getting some dubs. And as always, we will catch y'all at the next tailgate.